We're here today to worship God because we believe that God instructs us to do so. Unlike many religious bodies, we believe that not only does God tell us when to worship Him, but He tells us how. And that if we look at the history of the early church, those people who first obeyed the gospel, when we see how they worshiped, there is a clear pattern of worship for us to follow today. We know in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that they met upon the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. And so we have gathered to worship God. In that same verse, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says that when they met upon the first day of the week, it was to break bread. That is, the Lord's Supper. To remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so today, on the first day of the week, we will break bread, remembering the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Also, we know that they sang. We've had two good song services this morning. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, those early Christians sang praises unto God, offering the fruit of their lips, making melody in their hearts to the Lord. And so we have done today. They also taught and admonished one another through their songs while making melody in their heart. We know that those early Christians, when they gathered on the first day of the week, laid by in store as they had prospered. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. We are to lay by as we have prospered. Not a specific amount, but according to the individual's prosperity. And we will be given that opportunity in a few moments. And then we know, of course, that those early Christians prayed as part of their worship. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, they were giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. They prayed, giving thanks to God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've had prayers already today. But I'm not going to deal anymore with the pattern of worship. I'd like to ask the question this morning, what is worship? And do we worship God in the manner that we're supposed to? Yes, we do those items well. We meet on the first day of the week. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We sing unto God. We lay by in store. And we pray. But in doing those things, do we really understand what worship is? I don't know the original languages, and I always say that when I refer to them. I don't want anybody to have an impression that I'm a scholar and I know the original languages, because I don't. But we can look up in the English those words in the original language. And when you look up the word worship in the Greek language, there are many definitions. One of them is to hold in awe. One of them is to glorify. It means to lift up above everything else. It means to praise. It means to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Worship, then, more than anything else, is an attitude. Now let me show you how important that is. Have you personally ever participated in the Lord's Supper, but your mind was somewhere else? And then you kind of caught yourself and you pulled yourself back to the cross? I've done that many times. Have you ever been singing the songs and we're halfway through the service and we really don't pay attention to the words? We know them and we sing them, but we don't really teach ourselves and really draw an understanding from those words. I'm guilty of that. Have sometimes during the prayer, your mind kind of wanders about maybe the potluck or the ball game this afternoon? I've done that. And what I'm trying to say to all of us is that if you and I can truly appreciate worship, and we can worship God in spirit and in truth, that not only will the worship service improve, but our lives will improve. Because we can carry that enthusiasm with us throughout the week. In John chapter 4, beginning in verse 21 and going through verse 24, Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman. And he says that the time will come when the place of worship doesn't make any difference. And I'm paraphrasing. They worship in the mountains, the Samaritans. We worship in Jerusalem. But there will come a time when the place doesn't matter. That God is seeking true worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I believe, brethren, when you and I can appreciate what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth, our Christian lives will be stronger. Do you ever think about why God in His wisdom set aside a time of worship for His children? You know, worship is not for God. God doesn't need worship. What can we do as humans to exalt God any higher than He already is? What sermon could be preached that could glorify God any more than He already is? What songs could we sing that's going to add to the stature and the awesomeness of God? None. So why then is worship so important? Because you and I need worship, not God. You and I need to be drawn back to the awesome God. We need to take great courage from being in the presence of the Creator of the universe. And we need to be reminded that this great, powerful, wonderful, good God is in my life every day. And so God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Christian. I know that you're going to live in a world filled with stress. You're going to live in a world where you're surrounded by sin. The problems of life are going to come. Job chapter 14 and verse 1 says, man that is born of woman. Now think about that. Man that is born of woman. Who's that? All of us. Is of few days, notice, and full of trouble. We all understand that, don't we? And God looks down at us, His children, and He says, I understand the struggles of life. And so here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to set aside a time when all of the cares of the world can be left somewhere else. I'm going to set aside a time when all of my children all over the world can get out from under the stress and the problems and the difficulties of life and spend a time focusing on me and my goodness and my glory. Wouldn't it be wonderful if before we walked into that door, coming into this building, there was a big trash can out there. And whatever was troubling us, whatever stress was causing us to lose sleep, whatever financial difficulties, whatever relationship problems, whatever it is in life that's bothering me, I just shake them off and throw them in that trash can. And I come into this building and I spend an hour in the presence of God. And I'm reminded who God is. And I'm reminded of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the joy of being a Christian because of the promise of an eternal salvation. It lifts me up. It brings me closer to God. And then when my worship is over, in this exalted state, I leave the building ready once again to tackle those problems and cares of life. That's what worship is. And if I don't come to worship with a proper attitude, even though I've done all of the things correctly, I haven't worshiped God. And I really haven't gotten out of worship what God intended. When do you and I feel closest to death? When someone in our family or a close friend dies. Is that not right? And during that time of death and burial, we often think about our own mortality. My wife and I don't know how many times, have left a burial place, and we start talking about what songs we want sung at our funeral. You ever done that? Who we want to preach the funeral. Who we want the pallbearers to be. Have you ever done that? Yes, you have. But you know, 2 weeks from then, you don't think about that at all. Right? You're not thinking about dying. You're not thinking about your funeral. That's all past. Well, you see, that's what happens with God. When we're here, when we're worshiping God, when we're hearing the gospel preached, when we're able to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ through the Lord's Supper, it draws us so close to God. And all of those cares and troubles that have been driving us crazy, they're out there somewhere. And I'm here with my whole being focused on God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And now, I'm ready to go back in the world. And little by little, those problems that I put in that trash can are coming back. And all of those things are going to grab me by the throat. And thank God, next Lord's Day, I can chuck them again. And I can worship my God. And I can have an attitude of spirituality that will see me through another week. That's why worship is so important. And when God tells us in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, it's not for God. He doesn't need my pitiful voice. He doesn't need my pittance of alms. But I need to be in His presence. I need to be reminded always of who God is and how important He is in my life. Now, I come to every worship service wanting to worship in spirit and in truth. And my intention always is to focus on God and to focus on the Lord's Supper and to focus on the words of the song. But you know what? I often fail. A baby will cry. You know, children sometimes behave as children. You ever know that? Sometimes children behave as children. And if we allow a child who is being a child to distract us from our worship with God, we're not very focused anyway. If it's too hot, and it often is for me, I'm a big man, fat man, then my attitude of worship is not quite so uplifting as it would be if it was nice and cool. Or my wife and I have been fussing about something, and we come into the building kind of mad at each other, and we're sitting there partaking of the Lord's Supper, and I'm wondering when she's going to apologize, and she's thinking the same thing about me. And neither one of us are thinking about Christ. I want to give you some examples of worship. And when you and I can get these attitudes about worship, life will change. The first one I want to share with you is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and verse 18. When you turn there and read, and start a few verses before, there is a man identified only as a ruler. And he has come to Christ because his daughter is dead. And he wants Christ to restore her life. And the Bible says when he came, he worshiped Christ. And all he wanted from Christ was for Christ to touch his daughter and raise her from the dead. He wasn't thinking about how hot it was. He wasn't complaining about how many miles he had to walk. He didn't complain or talk about anything except how wonderful it was to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, that's the attitude that we need in worship. You see, those cares of the world, I left them outside somewhere. That's what God wanted in worship. I don't bring them in here because my time of worship is me and God. And as I praise God, He builds me up and gives me strength so I can go out and face the world again. This man understood what it meant to worship. His attitude was perfect. I am here to worship Christ and to ask Him to raise my daughter from the dead. When you and I come to worship with an attitude like that, I'm here to worship God. I'm here to let God know how much I love Him and appreciate what He's done for me and my family. And to be spiritually uplifted, so I can go into the world and conquer it because I have God in my life. When I come to worship with that attitude, I'll leave with my bucket full. I'll leave prepared to face that world and all of those issues. Let me give you a second example. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look specifically at verse 33. But you have to read several verses before that. And this is the story, of course, of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm. And they were frightened. They were afraid they were going to die. They saw the swelling waves, heard the power of the wind. And then Jesus came. Peace. Be still. And then verse 33 says something remarkable happened. Now remember who these men were. They are the disciples of Christ. They travel with Him wherever He goes. They have seen Him perform miracles. They have seen the great power that is exhibited through Jesus Christ. And yet, at this time, they are drawn even closer to Christ. And when He calms that storm, when He saves their life, it says in verse 33, they looked at Him and said, "Thou art the Son of God." Didn't they already know that? Yes. But what happened? They were drawn so close to Him. He was so important in their lives at that time, it was a different kind of feeling. And that's what you and I are. We know who Jesus is. We don't question that. We're grateful every day for Christ and the salvation that's possible through His blood. But sometimes, during worship, we are drawn closer to Christ than any other time. We appreciate it more then than we do at various times in our lives. When we come with an attitude of worship as these disciples had, our lives will be better. The third example I want us to look at is in Matthew 28, in those first 8 verses. You know the story. The women come to the tomb in order to prepare the body for permanent burial. Christ is risen. They're saddened. And then they see Christ, the resurrected Lord. And in verse 9, it says, they held Him by His feet and worshiped Him. What did they do? They held Him by His feet. Had they not been in the presence of Christ before? Yes. Didn't they know who Christ was? Yes. Didn't they understand the glory of Christ? In a limited way. But now, you see, it's a special time now. He is the resurrected Lord. He has overcome death. And they fall at His feet and worship Him. When you and I have that attitude about Christ, Mac won't ever again have to say, "Brethren, we sure would like you to come to services. You know why I'd be there? Because I need it. You know why I want to come? Because I want to be drawn closer to Christ. I want to show God my love and appreciation for who He is and what He's done for me. And I am grateful for worship when I can show to God my love and appreciation. And I can be lifted up to face the world." The fourth example is found in the book of Mark, chapter 5, the first 18 verses. It's a story about the madman of the Gadarenes. I've never heard a sermon preached about the madman of the Gadarenes. I'm sure it's been preached. I'm going to do it someday. But the story, you know, this man is filled with spirits. And he's a madman. He's crazy. He can't control himself. He runs around naked. He's so strong, when they bind him, he just breaks the chains. People are afraid of him. He hasn't shaved. He's a wild man. But in that story, it says in verse 6 that he ran to Jesus. Notice, he ran to Jesus. How many of us ran to worship this morning? Or did we come dragging in, wondering why we have to start so early? Here's the madman running to Jesus. Jesus cleanses him. The man is shaved. He's clothed. People are no longer afraid of him. And in verse 18, he begs to go with Christ. When's the last time you begged that you could be with Christ? Not spiritually, eternally yet, but just in the presence of Christ. When was the last time you were hungry to be in the presence of Jesus Christ? Brethren, when you and I develop this attitude of worship, we'll knock the walls out of this building. We will be so excited, so full of love, so full of appreciation for God and who He is, that it will spill out of us. People will see it in our lives, and we can help lead them to Jesus Christ. Now let me give you the opposite side very quickly. Years ago in Richmond, we used to have a lady that worshiped with us. She's now deceased. She was an older lady, and she did not like songs that were peppy. That was her word. Peppy songs. God didn't want us singing peppy songs. And her particular peppy song that she disliked the most was Sing and Be Happy. It was too peppy, and it had too many parts, and they sang it too fast. We had a gospel meeting scheduled many years ago aimed at the black community in Richmond. And the black Christians from the Glen Arvin Church in Lexington came down. We spent 2 weeks knocking every door in the black section of Lexington. We invited a black preacher, and we invited the Glen Arvin black song leader to lead singing. First morning of the gospel meeting, the building was packed out, people hanging from the rafters. Spirit was wonderful. We got ready to have worship. This black song leader gets up and announces the first song. You want to know what it is? Sing and Be Happy. You know what our friendly Christian lady did? She slammed that book and she jammed it down in the back of that pew and went, What kind of attitude does she have about worship? She may as well stay at home in bed. She'd have been better off at home in bed. You see, she didn't appreciate being in the presence of God. She didn't appreciate who God was and grateful for the opportunity to worship Him. She was mad because that was a peppy song that she didn't like. And a lot of us have such attitudes. We don't like it when certain people pray. They pray too long. We don't like it when certain people lead singing. They always get them too high. We don't like it when certain people teach class. They're boring. When I stand before God on the day of judgment, and He says, Why did you not assemble with the saints? And I'm going to look at Mac and say, Well, it's his fault. I didn't like the way he preached. Oh, well, that's okay. Then you come on in. Is that what God's going to say? He's going to say, Matt did the best he could. You failed. You know why? Because I didn't have the proper attitude about worship. Brethren, when we understand what worship is, and we come with that attitude, and we display that attitude in our lives every day, the Lord's church will grow. If you're not a Christian, you'd have no idea what you're missing. The joy of being a Christian, of having prayer, the ability to ask God to help in time of need, and to have a constant do-over, as it were. When I fail, I repent and ask forgiveness. How many times? Every time. Every time. You need to be a Christian. If you're not, why not today? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and there's not a person here who doesn't, if that belief would cause you to repent, if you're willing to confess Christ as the Savior, this very day you can be buried with your Lord in baptism, where His blood will cleanse you of sin. If there's something in your life that you need removed through repentance and prayer, there are people here who stand willing to help. Please, let us help you while we stand and sing.